Welcome to the Make Disciples podcast, a short weekly podcast where we will share topics, ideas, and resources useful to you in your effort to follow Jesus as a disciple. Welcome back to another episode of the Make Disciples podcast. My name is Dan Rober, and joining me in the podcast studio today is the magnificent worship leader,
Dan,
Russell Matherly.
You flatter me. Magnificent.
Magnificent.
Wow. I'm blushing.
Yes. Well, good to have you here, Russell. And we're actually having a topic of conversation that's even a little more close to home for you than other things we talk about. Love having our theological conversations as well. But our primary focus for this whole season is on this idea of service, to recognize that we all have a place where we can be used. We're thinking about this because it's part of our lives as Christians, and we're also thinking about it because we're thinking about our move to the community center and saying, especially when we get out there, we want to use our lives for the sake of connecting with others. And so we're talking about different ways people can serve here in the various ministries at Wildwood, and you're here as a representative of the worship ministry. And it brings up a question that I'm not sure I know the answer to. So this is going to be new, first time for me. What got you involved in worship ministry?
I guess it kind of depends on how far you want to go back. Like for me, the earliest memories that I have around church music specifically are when I was really little, going to my mom sang in the choir forever at our churches growing up. And I just remember my dad was a basketball coach, so sometimes he'd have a game and she'd have choir rehearsal and she would get me, my brother, and my sister in the car. And we would tag along, and I have no memory of what we did during those rehearsals. I'm sure we were just chaotic. I have no idea. But I do remember from a very early age hearing, for some reason, Michael W. Smith is the one who comes to mind the most, listening to a lot of his, choir pieces and that sort of thing, and listening to that, and just kind of falling in love with, I wouldn't have been able to say this at the time, but just the kind of transcendence that church music has, the ability of someone somewhere in a room to sing a particular song and someone else in the room to have a really profound theological, worshipful experience in the room. And at a very early age, I just remember being fascinated by that and just intrigued of like, how does that work? I understand being like, yeah, I like this song. It's good. Like you go to a concert or something like that, but something more powerful was kind of going on behind the scenes that I didn't realize at the time. So skip forward several years. And when I was in middle school and high school, there was, I was a part of our church's student ministry, loved it. It was great. And there was a guy there who sang in the worship band and he played guitar as well. And his name was Ben. And I just remember thinking every time I would see him play on a Wednesday night and lead us in worship, I just remember thinking, I don't know if I'm old enough to make this decision yet, but that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. It was something, I don't know how to describe it. I had a friend in college who called it a liver quiver and just some sort of sensation that you can't really describe, but you just have a gut feeling, you know? And seeing Ben and hearing Ben and watching what he was doing and how it would have that same effect that I described from, you know, choir rehearsal, that same effect of people just being moved and stirred more than just an emotional response, although there was that too. But there was something going on underneath the surface. And I remember in middle school and high school saying, I don't know what that is, but I want to chase this rabbit hole and see where it goes. It also helped that I wasn't good at anything else. I wasn't particularly studious or good at sports or anything like that. But I said, this is what I want to commit myself to for the rest of my life. And one thing kind of just led to another. I just got some great opportunities with where I was in school and growing up in church, leading worship and kind of saying, okay, let's kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit and see what goes into planning a worship service. And it ended up just one of those things that I'm sure some people would be like, oh, that doesn't sound like much fun. For me, it was like the ability to craft this experience and to listen to the best of my ability to what I felt like the Spirit was impressing on me to plan services and growing over time and having ideas like, oh, I think this is going to be really good. And be like, nope, that wasn't it. And just retooling and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, all that to say, it started when I was really little, and there was just something about worship music that I was just obsessed with and just followed that line throughout the rest of my life until now I'm a grown-up doing it.
So that's awesome. And so that means most Sundays you are on stage leading music. And you're the person that people see, and they see the other members of the worship team that are up there as well. But I think a lot of people don't know just how many different roles go into the, let's call it the production of a typical Sunday morning service. So what are the things that happen both on stage, but behind the scenes as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of coordination that goes into it. And I can get really deep in the weeds here. So if I start digging too deeply, give me some sort of hand signal or something, let me know. But basically, it just involves, what we try to do is have our services planned in terms of the personnel who are involved, who's going to be playing drums for this Sunday, who's going to be running sound for this Sunday. And that's coordination with the rest of my team, with JP O'Hara and your wife, Sarah, kind of working out through who's going to be scheduled for what. And there's not, like, at least at this point, we don't have like a rotation per se. It's just kind of seeing who's available and filling in gaps and that sort of a thing, and just seeing when people can participate. And yeah, so planning the team, planning the schedule, going through the songs, try to have the songs set, you know, roughly a month in advance. Not super great about that all the time, but that's the ideal. But it also comes into, you know, it's the amazing world of the technical side of worship, where, you know, we have our rehearsals on Thursday nights, and sometimes you'll have everything set and saved and ready to go, and nothing will happen in the sanctuary, and you walk in on Sunday morning and it's like, well, my guitar was working 3 days ago, but now all of a sudden it's not. So what do we do? So there's a lot of kind of last minute stuff. That's just kind of the nature of the thing itself. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of coordination that we try to do as far in advance as we can, because our goal is really, if you're serving on the worship team, we want to make it as easy and seamless and simple for you as you can, because this is our job to do this. It's my job to lead worship. But the people who participate on our team, not all of them are vocational or professional musicians. A lot of them, you know, might do music as a hobby or something on the side, and want a way to serve the congregation with their gifts. So we like to kind of iron out all the difficult details and stuff like that, and just make it as easy and accessible to people as we can. So it's more work on our end, but we're happy to do it.
Yeah. And that's an important point to make. One of the things we're focusing on with this series on service is that everyone isn't supposed to do everything. There are certain people who have the skills to sing or to play an instrument. But there's also a lot of other roles that are a part of getting together a Sunday morning service that people could be involved with. And maybe it's a little easier entry. I'll give just a simple example. Running a video camera on Sunday morning is something that people could be trained on.
Which you have done yourself a time or two.
Which I have done myself. Are there any other roles that we could pique some people's interest on, things that they might be able to do on a Sunday morning related to not only a worship team, but a V team, those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kind of, you know, it's really interesting in 2020 when we moved the sound booth down from the balcony onto the floor. We just kind of noticed a spike in the people who just saw what we had going on and said, that looks interesting. I want to get involved in that. So yeah, I mean, for AV, there's all kinds of things from, you know, working on the lighting to the presentation so we can read the words that are up on the screens, to sound design. And, you know, people can also work, you know, in what I call the bat cave, which is technically known as the production suite, where you can mix and video direct and, you know, all camera stuff like that for our online services and things like that. And, you know, as far as the band's concerned, you know, we kind of have a steady rotation of the instruments that we have. But that's not to say that, I don't know, if we know someone who plays a mean banjo, let's see if there's a banjo week. I don't know. We don't do that too often, but maybe it's time, Dan. Maybe it's time.
We need more banjo.
This is inspiring me.
More banjo, more cowbell.
More banjo, more cowbell.
So let's say that we did pique someone's interest who's listening to us and they're very interested in getting involved in some way, whether it's on stage or off stage. What would their next step be?
Yeah, I think the easiest next step would just be to come find me or come find Sarah, and just and we're easily found after the services on Sundays, for example, or just shoot us an email anytime during the week and say, hey, I might not be a professional at this, but I'm interested and feel like I have a decent ability and want to share my gift with God's people and use it to glorify his name and to proclaim his fame to the world. And we'll take that and run with it. And we typically have, you know, kind of a simple audition process. And I won't get too deep in the weeds, but we like people to see how we do rehearsals, because maybe you'll have an incredible talent and gift, and then you'll realize, oh, I don't really like the way Russell does rehearsals. This could be quite a mess, and I don't know. So, you know, we like to kind of make it as easy for people to be a part of this team as we can.
Great. Now, for your benefit, you want them to approach you after the service, not 3 minutes before the service begins.
Right. That's right. Yeah, kind of got a lot going on in our heads right before we walk on stage for some stuff. So yeah, after the service is typically better.
Yeah. And they can come to you for tech things, but JP O'Hara would be happy to talk with them as well, right?
That's right. That's right. A lot of that world, I don't really have my mind fully around how technical things work. I know how to play guitar and just barely that. So someone says, you know, something about running sound or lighting design or, oh, what lights do y'all have in the sanctuary? I'll be like, JP, maybe you should take this one.
Bright ones. We have bright
lights.
That's
right. They turn on, they turn off, they do colors. I don't know.
Yeah. They move sometimes.
Sometimes they move. If you look, they're subtle. It's not, you know, it's nothing crazy, but if you look, you'll notice.
Well, Russell, thank you again for joining us for this episode. Glad to have you and be able to talk a little bit about worship ministry.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Always love coming on.
Yeah, and thank you, our listeners, for being here. We're going to continue this series with other opportunities that we're hoping that we might pique your interest at some point. There is a place for you to serve here at Wildwood. So hope you'll join us again next time.
Thanks for joining us for the Make Disciples podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, leave a review, and spread the word. This podcast can be found in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This podcast is a ministry of Wildwood Church in Tallahassee, Florida. Please join us again for our next episode of Make Disciples.